Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the latest Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN, joined by former Blackhawks Stanley Cup champion. You see him on CSN pre and post game all season long, Jamal Merrick. What's up, Jammer?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Hawks snap a skid on Tuesday night. Two-game skid after ugly performances against Washington. Not so much a bad performance against Minnesota, but they blew a two-goal lead in that one. And they get a, I'll just say, ugly win against a struggling Colorado Avalanche team. I guess the biggest takeaway was the bottom six and how they played.
Oh, there's no question. I think that obviously Joel wasn't happy with the way the team had played in Washington, and maybe a little bit happier with how things went against Minnesota, but clearly wanted to shake things up, maybe perhaps to get Jonathan Toews going, and lo and behold, it ends up getting the third and fourth line going, who contributed five goals on this night, and a great effort, and it started right from the drop of the puck, creating opportunities and cashing in offensively.
It started with that fourth line in the first period, and Nick Schmaltz, who's been recently recalled, cashed in with his second NHL tally. Dennis Rasmussen, a big part of that goal, and Rasmussen's played great all season long. I really was impressed with how that fourth line, you know, generated offense, and we had talked about on the pregame show, the bottom six has been a part that, you know, at times they've been AWOL and they haven't been around.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Joel, it's about trust, and so he's responsible defensively. Speaking of Rasmussen, he can create enough offensively as well. He's a big body and not afraid to go to the front of the net, and created a lot of havoc in front of the goaltender, and can create offense as well. So very happy for that line getting rewarded offensively. Anytime you can get your fourth line to contribute a couple goals, you usually end up on the right side of the ledger. So I think Rasmussen and Kiro collectively have filled a void in the absence of Marcus Kruber, and played extremely well as defensive forwards.
That third line, Tanner Kiro centering Marian Hossa and Vinny Hinostroza. Tanner Kiro ends up with two goals on Tuesday night. Vinny Hinostroza with two goals as well. And his came at a time where, you know, the Hawks are coming off one of their least productive second periods all season long, just four shots on goal. Corey had allowed three goals on eight shots, but Vinny Hinostroza, 5 minutes in, gets the party going, gets the equalizer, and then it was just a few minutes after that he got the go-ahead goal.
Yeah, great play by Brent Seabrook, just putting that puck into space in the neutral zone, and what speed by Vinny Hinostroza as he goes in all alone, and not only has the speed, but has the hands to finish. Quick forehand, back to forehand, upstairs, over Varlamov's glove, and lo and behold, we have a tie game.
And it's the dad's trip, so Rick Hinostroza, the Bartlett father of Vinny Hinostroza, was in the house at the Pepsi Center to be a part of that. All in all, you know, all six goals, even the empty netter, which was a very unselfish play, I thought it was great all the way around. You had Kiro wanting to set up the captain, who, you know, goals have been hard to come by for 19 this year. And then Toews puts it right back to Kiro for him to finish off his second. That was a nice moment that I know will not go unnoticed in that dressing room.
There's no question, and certainly I'm not surprised in the least. It shows to the character of Jonathan Toews, did the right thing giving that puck back to Carroll, and clearly, you know, obviously most people would have probably put that into the net and thought, you know what, I've been struggling, but not JT. Obviously, he gets recognition for a lot of different things, and some things I'm sure the guys in that locker room took notice of that, and he leads by example.
Corey Crawford's carried this team all season long. So has Scott Darling. But in the last week, you know, look, there was probably a goal or two against Washington that Corey would like to have back. Maybe the game winner against the Wild on Sunday night. But even Joel Quenneville said after the victory over the Avalanche, you know, he knows he needs to be better. Look, he's not going to be perfect over an 82-game schedule. You're going to go through some peaks and valleys. This might just be a little bit of his valley this year.
Yeah, and, you know, and that happens, obviously. I think that, you know, Corey would be the first one to tell you or be critical of himself, and certainly he'll say that he probably would like to have that Como goal back, beating him far side to the low glove. That's one that he certainly maybe perhaps overslid. But that does happen, and then maybe the other one you could think about would be Duchesne's second goal when he slides in, beats you know, defenseman wide, and makes a nice move on Kempney under the stick and goes far side. Maybe he's a little bit too deep there, and maybe shouldn't be in a reverse VH. But having said that, clearly he's been their best player all season long, and you know, he certainly got the win, made the important saves near the end of the game when he had to. And it's about getting W's, and that's what he does.
We've at times complained about referees and calls. I don't think I've ever really complained about the official score, but this was an odd scoring game. We had several goals that were changed during this contest of the 10 that were scored, and they were very stingy when it came to the assists. I mean, it looked like Brian Campbell had recorded his 500th career point on the first goal by Nick Schmaltz. They changed it to unassisted. And, you know, Campbell said, you know, he was shaking his head after the game saying, you know, my dad is here and everything. It was kind of bizarre, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know what if there's a, you know, a mandate to really be stringent on how they hand out those assists. This is not the first time this season that we've seen that. It is very surprising. This is an a hockey play is a hockey play, and for the 15 years that I played, that was certainly an assist, and I wouldn't, you know, I'd be disappointed if I were Campbell.
Well, yeah, I mean, I look at plays like the Seabrook pass to Hinostroza. Well, that ends up the first one. Was they're going with an unassisted goal by Vinny Hinostroza. You know, it's odd. I can take a shot. It can go off the pad of the goalie. You can be on the back door, knock it in. I get the assist. Yet, I could shoot the puck. It can go off the defenseman's skate or what have you. He doesn't have control of it. Doesn't really make a hockey play with it. It bounces to a teammate who knocks it in. And it's an unassisted goal. It's just they're not consistent.
No, they haven't been, particularly in this game. And certainly, hopefully, that the PR staff or what have you could, you know, perhaps petition the league and have it reviewed. Because, you know, my thought on points, to be quite honest with you, is when you earn them, you should get them. And I learned it from older guys in the league is that if you earn a point, make sure you get it. And obviously, if it didn't go off you or you didn't touch it, then you shouldn't get it. So I think having that honor amongst the players still exists, and I think that Soupy has every right to be a little bit upset.
So this team now makes its way to Boston, a team the Bruins are in the playoff mix right now. You know, Patrick said this, Kane, about 2 weeks ago, like these are the dog days. It's tough to really stay up and sharp at all times. Do you agree with that? And you know, what will pull them through these so-called dog days?
I do agree that they're dog days. This team has been through a lot. They've won 3 Stanley Cups in the last few years, 7 years, 8 years, what have you. This is a team that's built for winning cups, and this is a team that understands and appreciates when it's time to get it going. And this is when you need your third and fourth line guys to step up. And I think that they can provide and kind of drag you into the fight of those games 40 through 60 where it's difficult to get up for. And those games where you're not really emotionally engaged, having seen the big picture, they can pull guys into the fire. And I think that's somewhere where Hartman can do that as well. I think that's somewhere where those guys, bottom six guys, can do that. And they are tough times, but that's what builds character. And they're going to have to get through it and get to playing their game the right way.
Yeah, a bunch of rookies getting goals on Tuesday night. The bottom six tallying 5 goals and 5 assists. A big part of the reason why the Hawks ended a 2-game skid. Still to come on this Hawks Talk podcast, I'll talk to Jamal about the upcoming trade deadline. What's the type of player the Hawks may be targeting? Stan Bowman here as they try to add with that window, still ajar here as far as the Stanley Cup is concerned. But, you know, what type of move might they consider? That's coming up on the Hawks Talk podcast.
It's sports, it's social, it's viral. It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show. In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago. And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast with Jamal Mayers, I am Pat Boyle. Let's discuss what is looming for this team. NHL trade deadline, as we approach it, you know, you look at the Blackhawks salary cap situation, and you would have thought that they really couldn't add anybody significant. But because of some of the players, Jammer, that they have sent down, and it's even just for periods of time, it might be Schmaltz for a couple of weeks, whatever, and how they replaced it, they created some cap room. And when you take a look at the trade deadline, Cap Friendly hasn't projected to be able to add an AVV of $5.3 million. That's a significant player in the National Hockey League. So that said, do you think that Stan will look to add a forward come the trade deadline?
I do. I do. I think that this organization is always recognize that they have a unique opportunity, and they appreciate that the window to win is now. And he's never, Stan has never been hesitant, as in years past, to make a move. Now the question is, where does that move come from? And to me, it's a forward position. It's someone that can play possibly in the top six. Those are difficult players to get to. But maybe there's an older player out there, or a player that's fallen out of favor because of the growth of their young players and organizationally. So I think it's going to have to be an expiring contract, but time will tell. But I do think they'll make an addition.
And when you say top six, I mean, we obviously know the Kane, Anisimov, Panarin line will likely not change. So we're looking at that top line, somebody to play with Taves. And you would assume that Hossa will find his way back up to the Taves line eventually, you would think. So then we're again looking for that left winger. Now, again, I'm with you. I think it has to be an expiring contract with Panarin's extension and with the difficulties that this team is in going forward. So now all of a sudden you're not just looking at an AVV VAT of 5.3. You're looking at a guy who is in the final year of his deal, and he's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end. A guy that fits that build is Patrick Sharp, a guy we know very well, obviously, won 3 Stanley Cups here. Down in Dallas, are having a very disappointing season. They were injured. He was injured a lot, dealt with some concussions. Part of me is like, well, that would make sense. But then again, when he was here, he wasn't playing left wing on the Taves line at the end. How do I justify that, all of a sudden it's going to work now, bringing him back a year later?
Well, I think the decision back then, a few years ago, had multiple layers to it, and they understood and had a projected plan 2 or 3 years out. I think a lot went into that. I think that in a rental capacity, I think that he certainly serves notice. The best thing that Patrick Sharp can do is go and score goals for the Dallas Stars and make himself attractable to a team like the Hawks. But I think it's a no-brainer. I think that it would make sense that he fits in there. It'll depend on what do the Hawks want to do. Do they want to, what type of player do they want there? There may be other options. There may be younger players. They might want to beef up a little bit with someone who can skate and score. Maybe it's a Colin Wilson that's in Nashville, but does Nashville really want to trade with the Chicago Blackhawks, a team in their division, which could complicate things? So I can assure you that Stan and his staff will overturn every stone. They will figure out where there is an option, and if there's a chance to make the team better, they will.
And when we look at the back end, in years past, that's been a spot that the Hawks have always addressed. It looks to be their strength right now. Even though we don't exactly know the six that will be eventually tabbed to see a bulk of the playoff minutes, do you think they have the right defensemen in the mix right now to make that run? You think they would feel comfortable with that group?
I do. And there's another young player we're not even thinking of, and that's Forsling. And I think he's going to be someone you're going to hear from as the season comes to a close and gets into the playoffs. I think he's someone who could come up and help through the playoffs. So I think that they have the luxury. It's been a positive so far that they've had eight NHL defensemen. Forsling will go down, is down there now, hopefully gaining confidence, and will help them for a stretch run. So I think that's an area that they've solidified, and they've been very thankful or very appreciative. I think they're surprised even that Kempney's worked out and they've got Brian Campbell. They definitely have 60 or 70 that can help them.
On Tuesday night, the fourth line came to play. We talked about that in our first segment. But the loss of Kruger here, you know, he's the type of guy that, you know, he doesn't get a ton of discussion because of his role on this team. But if you look now, two straight games that the Blackhawks have allowed a power play tally from the other team against a Colorado team that's power play was not very good coming into this one. You know, he's an unsung guy that they're probably missing right now, and he can't get back to this lineup soon enough.
I think you've said it. I think Joel and the staff and even the players appreciate what Krugs brings to the table. He's very tough player. It has nothing to do with fighting or anything like that. He puts himself in harm's way oftentimes to make a play. He's very responsible defensively. He's always seems to be in the right position. He's great on faceoffs, great on penalty killing. He's a very serviceable, dependable type of guy that Joel has in the past, when they've won the Cups, have not been afraid to play Krugs and his line against other teams' top lines, which just frees up the other top six forwards.
Up next for the Blackhawks, they make their way to TD Garden. They'll take on the Boston Bruins on Friday, January 20th. You can see that game right here on CSN. Our pregame coverage begins at 5:30. That's going to do it for this edition of the Hawks Talk Podcast. For Jamal Mayers, I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening. Go Hawks.